How many of you guys have ever been to Washington, D.C.? Let me see a show of hands. Okay, not bad, not bad. How many of you guys have ever, those of you that have been to Washington, D.C., walked around downtown D.C. through all of the monuments, the Capitol and all that stuff, and the Vietnam Memorial and all that? How many of you guys have done that? You've actually walked around through those monuments? All right, good. If you've ever done that, you know that as you walk around, there's a lot of war memorials there, a ton of war memorials. And they're beautiful, aren't they? I mean, especially at night. I used to live in Washington, D.C., and so we would go down. I remember my wife and I, when we were first dating and stuff, we'd go down there after midnight. It's an amazing time, between 12 and 1 a.m., because all the lights are on, everything's shining up on all the memorials, and there's still people out there, but not as many. And you just kind of get to walk around and just enjoy the memorials to these amazing wars that have taken place. You know, I've been thinking about Mother's Day quite a bit this week, and I've been trying to grab a hold of what on earth I'm going to share with moms today. Because sharing with moms, in my opinion, it's like I'm the two-year-old trying to tell the adult. You know, it's just like I just realized moms are so incredible. They're so beyond me. They're so something I don't want to be, that because it's just so hard, that I just go, what am I going to say to moms that's going to mean anything? Yeah, so I thought about, you know, Bible promises, you know, pull out little booklet of promises to moms, and I'm like, you probably read all of those because you need them all the time, so you don't need me to tell you those. And as I was thinking about this whole thing, I watched this video that we just watched, you know, earlier this week. And every face in that video is a kid that belongs to somebody in this room or in the first service. I mean, these are our children. And it just dawned on me that video is like a monument to moms. I mean, it really is. Children are like a monument to moms. Now, granted, they're a monument to parenting, but moms, I mean, let's just give them what they deserve. It is a monument to the fact that mothers have worked to get there. And you know, in a very similar way to the fact that a war memorial that we go and look at is this beautiful thing that we all look at that is a monument to a war that took place. The reason the monument is there is because there was a war. Are you with me? I mean, we don't build monuments and go, oh, this is beautiful. What war is this for? It's not for a war, actually. Nothing happened. We just thought we'd build it, and it's cool. We stuck it right in the middle of Washington, D.C., so you could stare at it and go, that monument is for nothing. We spent millions of taxpayers' dollars on building that for absolutely nothing. We don't do that, right? We only build them when people have lost their lives and blood has been spilled, and so that we stand there and we go, wow, this drives us to remember what has happened to get us here, right? And when we watch a video like that, I feel like this morning it dawned on me that moms, when they leave this place, when they go back out there and Monday through Saturday starts, they walk right into a war zone. I mean, moms, you are going to war. So I'm standing here this morning realizing I've got to call out to you and go, I know you're about to go to war. I know it's going to be a warful week. So I am going to give you a few tools that hopefully will help you get out there and fight hard. Because we know that this is a battle that you're about to face. Now, just to show you kind of what I'm talking about, that little video we just saw, it's really beautiful. And I'm sure some of you cried. I didn't because I didn't cry. Just kidding. And so it was really sweet. But as I'm watching, I'm thinking about a memorial. I'm realizing, okay, that video is the memorial. There are our beautiful children. We've worked so hard, sweat, blood, and died for them. Now I want to step into the world of reality for a second. When I think about moms, this is kind of what I think about. So I want you to take a look at this video, because this video will show you what I think about when I think about moms.
You get orange juice, you get the bread. I can't reach it.
Watch out.
Just go get two eggs. No, I was supposed to take
get the tray, come on.
No, I was. You get the door.
No, I was. Give it to me.
No, I'm supposed to take it.
Mom!
Wait, where's Kyle?
Raise your hand if you can relate. That's right. Okay, let me ask a quick question. How many moms woke up this morning with breakfast in bed? All righty. I'm changing the message. We're talking to dads today. Dads, there's some things in Scripture I need to bring to your attention. Hello, McFly, hello, it's Mother's Day. Okay, how many of you guys went out for breakfast at least, please? Please, a few hands. Oh! All right, we'll do a sermon next week for dads. Moms, I'm so sorry. I don't often toot my horn because there's not much to toot, but this morning I do want to say this. I needed to be here this morning for first service to preach. I'm preaching now. I've got to preach tonight. This morning, I got up. I dragged my four kids out of bed. We went downstairs, and I made breakfast for my wife in bed to take up to her with cards and flowers and all sorts of things to say Happy Mother's Day before I headed out here, okay? So before you start clapping and cheering and going, Renaud, you're just wonderful. You're amazing. What a leader. Let me just share another thing with you, just to bring a bit of reality to this picture. As I was leaving this morning, of course, I come in the room, put the tray down. Kids, give her the cards. Happy Mother's Day, hon. Love you. I got to go shower now, okay? So as I'm heading out the door, I look at the kitchen. I try to clean up some. I really did. But I kind of looked and went, oh, man. It's like she's going to get out of bed, half breakfast eaten because the baby's crying and the kids are going crazy, come downstairs and go, great. So I do realize that there's a reality check in all of this wonder. You know, my children, I stood upstairs this morning and I counted because I'd watched this video, you know, at the end of the video, Mom! You know, and you just know the mother's laying in bed going, man, why did they make me breakfast? And I was thinking about how real that potentially is. So I'm upstairs in my bedroom counting how many times downstairs I hear my children reach the point where they feel like they need to shout one of their parents' names. Okay, this morning, I counted over four times in 20 minutes. 20 minutes, four times, where my kids, something was happening down there where they would go, no, it's my mom! Dad! Now, most of the time, we just ignore it because they say the word, and then afterwards, they work it out themselves, which is good. But the point is, when we walk out into this real world, we walk out into a war zone. Have you ever had the privilege of sitting down with somebody who has been in a war? How many of you guys have a grandfather or a father you've talked to, and they were in a war, and you got to talk with them and ask them about the war? How many of you have actually been in war yourselves? Okay, just a few of you. Listen, when you sit down and talk with someone that's been in a war, it is an amazing thing. You see things in their eyes you don't often see. I had the privilege of knowing a gentleman back in Monterey who was in the Vietnam War, and I got to sit with him one time and talk with him. He didn't like to talk about it much, but I got to talk with him one time and talk about what he experienced in a war zone, you know? And it's interesting to me how when you talk to people that experience war zones, they kind of have a very similar story. It kind of starts off with them showing up, you know, and they've got their gun and their bullets and they've been on the training field where they shot little things at them and they made them feel scared. And they get into the war zone, and when they go to their first war, their first battle, it's really just chaos is all it is. You're scared out of your mind. People are shooting at you. You could die. You're shooting at people. You're running around. You're keeping your head low. And you're just like, oh, my gosh. And there's a few people around you that just seem like they're walking around like this ready. And you're like, someday I want to be like them. Because you can tell that just they've lost fear. You know, they're in a different zone. You know, when you're a mom and you have a brand new child or you have a few small children, kind of the zone that we're in right now, Brooke and I, that's kind of like it is. You just gotten into the war. You didn't really know what you signed up for. And now you're kind of thinking, gosh, I wonder if this was such a good idea. And all it is basically crisis management and constantly trying not to be shot. You know, you're walking around with your head low and going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. It's a scream here and a run there and a plate here. Every dinner experience, you don't sit down and eat dinner. You stand on your feet because every 4 seconds, Mom, I need some more ice water. would somebody throw the ice water at that child? She's two. You can't do that. Okay, fine. You know, everything that happens in life when you're in this zone is like this chaotic moment where you're running around in a war zone with your gun and you're just trying to survive. You just don't want to die. And moms, I know, I watch my wife there, and she's, you know, everything's happening, and I get to be part of it too, but for about an hour in the morning and for about 2 hours, the rest of the time I get to go to work and eat lunch with my friends, you know? And so the reality is that mom's got to stay home and take care of all this craziness that for 20 minutes I'm going, oh, would they just stop? She's got to deal with all day long. You know, and then you get those moms that are in their teenage years, you know. They've got teenage children now or young adult children. And when you sit down with them, it's like sitting down with someone who is a war veteran, you know. And you look in their eyes, you know, you look at in their eyes and you realize they've seen things no human being should see. You just know it. You feel it. They can't even talk about it. Oh, just wait till you get there. You know, and you look at moms who are in that zone, and they've got a calmness about them, kind of like a Green Beret, you know? Look, man, you're either going to get hit or you're not. It's really that simple. So just walk on in and trust God. But, you know, you also realize as you look at those moms that they have experienced hurts and pains that no woman should have to experience, no mom should have to experience, because raising children on this planet is not an easy deal. You've got the chaotic early years that you just have to survive, and then you've got the years of teenagers and young adults where late nights of worrying about your children. See, when they're young and they're small, you're looking at them and you're just trying to explain to them that everything is not real in this life. They don't have to worry about the fact that their pedal fell off their bicycle. It's not that big a deal. I remember two nights ago, Brooke and I were sleeping soundly at 3 a.m. in the morning. And we have monitors in all the kids' rooms because not because we're afraid that they might be sad, but because they could potentially fight at 3 a.m. in the morning, and so we got to know when that's happening. And so we got monitors in their room, and suddenly, I know you've been there. If you're a mom, you have been here, okay? We hear a scream from one of the rooms, the kind of scream that, you know, how many of you guys hate snakes, for instance? Just raise your hands. Okay, if you walked out of this church today and you stepped accidentally on a snake, and the kind of scream that I would get from you then, like that kind of scream that you know somebody just died, I think. I'm not really sure. This is what happens in one of the bedrooms, okay? Now, it comes from Hope because she's the only one that can potentially scream that loud. I mean, we didn't need the monitor. I don't know why we had it because it just penetrated every wall and window. I think the neighbors might have woken up. But you know, it's one of those moments in life where you're laying in bed and you're laying there and before you're awake, you're already out of bed. Have you ever had that experience? Like your body starts reacting before your mind is woken up. Your mind kind of catches up halfway and you're like, how did I get in the hallway? Where am I going? Oh my gosh. And then you realize, oh, somebody's screaming and your body's already going. Because that's what parents do. Parents get that way, right? So we come running into the room. Brooke's right behind me. She went off the bed on the right. I went off the bed on the left. We took off. We came through the doors. Hope's standing next to her bed in the dark. Rah, rah, rah. Hadley's sitting up in her bed. She's not actually awake. She's just sitting up in her bed, and I realize she'll go to sleep in a second because she sleeps through a train wreck. I mean, it wouldn't really matter. And so I grab Hope. You know, as a dad, I'm thinking, what is this? Whoever's in this room, step back. I got a baseball bat. You know, you're kind of in that zone where you're ready to kill. And I look at Hope and I'm like, what's the matter? And she goes, there's a bug in my bed. And you know, you just want to sit down and look at Hope and say, honey, next time, get up. Come to my room and go, Dad, I think there's a bug in the bed. I will get up, I will take care of the bug, and you'll go back to sleep and I'll go back to sleep. You know, we found out there was no bug in her bed. It was a dream. It was a dream, for crying out loud. So now I'm sitting with my 2-year-old, my 3-year-old going, let me explain to you the difference between reality and dreams. Next time you dream about a bug, squish the thing. Okay, so that's the early years, right? You're laying in your bed at 6 a.m. You get so much adrenaline running through your body, you're not going to sleep for 3 days. You're like, oh, just get away, please. Now, when you're a veteran mom, though, you got different stories, right? Because instead of trying to explain to your 3-year-old that dreams aren't real, you're trying to explain to your teenager that life is real and it bites. And if they don't take care of things and they don't watch where they walk, they will fall and they will hurt themselves for very long periods of time. And because you know that, your heart breaks for them and you want to guide them and lead them, but sometimes they don't want to listen because they're trying to be independent. And it's that dynamic of pain and sorrow and suffering that a mom has to go through. And so I get it. I get that when you walk out there today, you are walking into a war zone. Some of you are out there and you got moms and you got grown kids and they've got their kids of their own. And you worry about them all the time. I know you do because you're a mom. I know you do. You worry about their stability and the unwise choices they're making that you made when you were their age. But you know better now and so should they. And you're in that zone that your whole life. You're in a war for your kids, a war to make sure that as a mom, you're fighting. So I want to share with you a few things that I think God wants to share with your heart, moms, to say, hey, I get it. I'm with you. And when you get back out there today, I want you to know the fight is worth it. It is worth every piece of blood you spill. It is worth everything you have to give. But I've got a couple of things I want to share with you. So moms, hear from God today as he shares with you a few things that I think you should take with you today when you leave here. And let these things be a call to your heart to say, we are with you, we get it, and we know it's hard. Keep fighting, keep pushing. There's this guy, his name is Joshua, he's in the Old Testament. We'll actually get to him in the next few weeks when we journey into Joshua. We're going to turn to the book of Joshua, so grab your Bibles, turn there. If you don't have a Bible, underneath the seats there are some Bibles, grab one of those. And if you don't have a good Bible at home, folks, keep one of ours, please. We want you to have a good Bible so you can read for yourself, because there's some incredible stuff in here. Turn with me to the book of Joshua. In our Bibles, it's page 148, or actually 149. And we're going to go to Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 6. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Before I read this passage while you're turning there, let me give you a quick bit of background on this. Okay, Joshua is about to enter into the promised land. This is the land of milk and honey, the land that God promised, the land of freedom, the land of hope, the land where everything is wonderful, okay? But in order to get from here into that land, there is a war that he has to walk through. There are countries he has to conquer and nations he has to beat and people he has to move through. And so God is preparing in Joshua chapter 1 to say to Joshua, you and your people are about to go to war. And if you fight hard and you fight with me, the promised land lies on the other side of this. But there is a war zone between here and there, so get ready. This is the speech God gives Joshua as he sends him into war. So moms, listen up. This is the speech I'm sharing with you today for your heart to say, moms, as you walk out this door back into the war zone, this is what God has for you. Here it is, verse 6. God starts right out the gates. Be strong and courageous. Because you will lead these little people, the children, to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Moms, in this short little passage, God is clear, is he not? What does he say? Be, that's not a trick question, be strong and courageous, right? And then how many times did he say it? He said it 3 times. In fact, the second time he said, be strong and very courageous. Why do you think God's telling him this? Why do you think God's sharing this with you, moms? Because when you walk out there, it is a war zone, and there are going to be days when you're going to be discouraged, when you're going to be terrified, when you're going to feel inadequate, when you're going to feel like you can't do it, and why am I here, and why did I sign up for it? And in those moments, God says, be strong, be courageous. Don't worry. Because God says 2 things are true. One, if you're a mom, and you choose today, that, or you've chosen days, months, years ago, that you are going to do this God's way, God says, if you meditate on my principles, on my ways, and you implement them into the way you live, moms, you will succeed. And then he says, and don't worry when you get discouraged, because when you're out there and you feel alone, I will be with you. So be strong and courageous, moms. Be strong and courageous, despite the fact that this world fights back and makes you feel like you're alone sometimes. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. We're going to shoot across into the New Testament. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 4, which is on page 816 of our Bibles. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 4. And listen again, this is another one of those moments in time where God repeats himself in Scripture, okay? He says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And then he says, "I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Moms, listen up carefully. In Psalm 24, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and everyone in it belongs to him. Okay? Which means that your kids belong to God. I know sometimes as a mom, as you worry about your kids and you stress about your kids and your heart breaks for your kids, I know it's hard sometimes to look and you feel out of control and you feel like you're doing a bad job because they're just not growing. Don't worry so much, okay? When that happens, when anxiety comes and attacks your heart, and it will, I promise you, let it drive you to your knees. Run to a quiet place in the house while your kids are screaming. Get on your knees and say, "God, I am very anxious right now. I'm very stressed and I'm very worried, but listen, I'm here. I'm presenting my request to you with thanksgiving. Please guard me." Because this little passage gives us a tremendous promise. It says that when we're anxious, if we run to God and we get on our knees and we say, "God, please, I'm in your hands. The earth belongs to you. These kids belong to you. You gave them to me. This is your problem." When we do that, then God says that the peace that transcends understanding will what? Will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It is as though you're heading into a war zone and right before you go, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Where on earth are my bodyguards? I'm sorry, this is ridiculous. You expect me to walk out there alone? I might get shot. Get me my bodyguards." And that's kind of what this verse is saying. It's saying, you go to the Lord when you're anxious and he comes and he guards you. He guards your heart and your mind. So moms, you're going to get anxious. You're going to get anxious. When you do, let me just share with you, let me just encourage you, get out there, get on your knees and go to God. God will guard you. Be strong and courageous, he says. And then he says, "I will guard you. When you're anxious, come to me." Turn with me to the book of James. We've just got two more, so don't worry. Just a little further on in the Bible. Page 837. Before I read this passage in James, let me ask a question. You have your pastor's permission, moms, to do this right now. Even if you go, "Well, that would be selfish if I said that." Don't worry, just say it anyways, okay? How many of you guys sometimes, you feel like everything you do in life, your whole life is for other people? Your entire life is just about other people. Oh, come on. There are more of you than that. Thank you. Put your hand up. If your husband says anything, I'll smack him upside the head. That's right. Yeah. You know, I know you probably do. I know you do. You know, I watch my wife sometimes and I think to myself, I've told people before, I tell God oftentimes, "Thank you, God, that I'm not a woman. Thank you so much." Now, don't get me wrong. That has nothing to do with the fact that I think women are something that are not desirable that I don't want to be. It's because who would want to sign up for that difficulty? I mean, my life is pie in comparison to being a mother and a wife. I mean, I look at my wife and I go, you know, she wakes up in the morning. There's this entire house that needs to be kept straight and organized and clean. There's piles of laundry to do. I mean, it's not like I'm going to run in and do it, right? And she knows that. In fact, most of it's in my closet in a big, huge pile. And she keeps saying, "Please, just the hamper. It's so easy. Out of the closet into the hamper." You know, and I'm like, why not just leave it in the closet on the floor? And then she can collect it. It's so much better. You know, that's how it kind of goes, right? I mean, don't you feel that way sometimes, moms? And your kids, you know, you wake up in the morning and you got to start thinking, what does the day look like? Where do they have to be? How do I have to get them there? What food do they have to eat? Who's going to take care of them? What if they asked me yesterday that I said yes to when I wasn't thinking and I've got to change now? I mean, there's all these things you got to think through. And then you start your day out and you get through your day and it gets to dinner time and, you know, you're doing the ice water and the this and that and you've just cooked. And by the time you get to the point where the husband walks back into the house, you know, you look like one of those people that just came out of a war zone, blood coming out of every crevice. You're crawling on the floor. You look up to your husband and go, it's been a hard day. And he goes, is dinner ready? I'm just curious, because I'm tired. It's, you know, had three lunches today. It's kind of hard. I mean, listen, folks. Moms, thank you. You guys are insane. That's a new word I'm using a lot, my wife says, so I'm not going to use that right now. But, you know, this is, you guys just, you go, and it's all about us and not about you. And that happens a lot. I know it happens a lot. Let me just tell you, God wants to tell you something about that. When you feel alone, when you feel like this is all about everybody else, what about me? I need some things once in a while too. Let me just tell you that God has a little secret, a secret that's going on in your life that he wants to share with you. In James chapter 1, verse 2, listen to what this says. Consider it pure joy, mothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And boy, you guys have a boatload of them. I mean, you got more trials in a day than I face in a month. Because you know that it is the testing of your faith that develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Listen, mothers, on the days where you feel like you're alone, and you feel like your life is just about everyone else, and you feel like the world is weighing on your shoulders, and you feel like you haven't had a moment to yourself, let me just tell you that in the midst of those moments, know that God is at work in you, that he is using all the stuff that you have to go through to mature you and to develop you and to test your faith and to bring perseverance into your life so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Have you ever wondered why women are so much more mature than men? Because they're moms. That's why, because they face so much. Listen, folks, when you get out there, moms, and you feel alone, just know that God is at work in you and that he is going to use in his economy what seems to be the least in his economy he's going to use to bring you first. Remember what God says? He says, in my world, he who is first shall be last, and he who is last shall be first, right? So he says that in his economy, that's how it works. On our planet, it works the opposite way. So sometimes, moms, you feel like you're out there alone and you give, and you don't get anything back. Let me tell you, in God's economy, that's the place you want to be. Because in God's economy, that is where he's feeding you and he's growing you and he's developing you into maturity so that you can be one of those green berets sitting back and everyone looks at you in awe and goes, wow, if only I could be like that. And you go, yeah, well, I've seen things you don't want to see. God is leading you into a place of freedom, moms, despite the fact that you feel alone. Let me just close with the last thought. And I'm going to take you back to where we started. Moms, as you walk out of this place, you're going to walk back out of here into that place where you are a mom. And some of you, I think, perhaps you've been fighting hard, but it's been tough. You're tired. You're weary. If you are, as you walk out here, let me just say, be strong and courageous. Your fight is worth it. The monuments that are being built because of the sweat and blood you're spilling, we're all in those little pictures. And just like the words in that song said, when I am old enough to teach and preach, you remember. You remember. See, I stand on the stage today, and I just want to tell you that as I stand here, and I've gotten to a place in my life where God is using the particular gifts that he's given me, and I'm able to do the things that I'm called to do, I know that I stand here because of my mom. I know it. You see, without her, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't even be born. But after being born, she nurtured me and cared for me and grew me and fought with me and battled with me. And I bet there were many days when my mom looked at me and said, this is a lost cause. This will never work. And I stand here now and I can shout back at my mom, it worked! It worked! And I want my mom to stand there and go, there it is, man. It was worth the fight. Now my mom still goes, oh, there's still some fight left because you got a long ways to go, kiddo. But here I am. And moms out there, if you've been pushing hard but you feel like giving up, don't. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Moms out there that you feel like you did give up. You feel like it's been months, years maybe, that you haven't been a great mom. You haven't parented well. You haven't been there for your kid. Listen, I know. I understand. It's tough. Today is a brand new day. Tomorrow is a brand new start. Get out there and God is saying to you, be strong and courageous, mom. Make it work. Get out there. Call your kid. Do what you have to do. Get back in the game. Because you're never, ever past getting back in the game. So be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. We know it's a war. This is the last thought I want to share with you. Oftentimes as moms, I know as you sit out there that this is a thankless type of job. You know, we've done a really good job in the past, since 9/11, done a real good job of kind of singing the songs of the heroes, right? When I go to Target now and all the toys are firemen and policemen and stuff, they're our heroes, and it's great. America stepped up and said, we sing the song of our unsung heroes. It's wonderful. But you go back in history a little ways, you know, like to the Vietnam War, for instance, they didn't do that back then. People were ticked at the war, and so they didn't sing the songs of the war, and so they didn't sing the songs of the heroes. And sometimes, moms, you fall into that category, don't you? I mean, you work and work and work, and nobody ever comes around except on Mother's Day. And then they can't even make you breakfast in bed. Yes, that was a little hit on all of you. That's right. Okay? Because you're kind of an unsung hero. So let me just say this as a closing thought to moms. Let me just apologize from my heart to your heart for the many times I haven't sung your praises, moms. To my wife and to my mom, the many times I've forgotten all the incredible things that they do every single day that I don't even see to take care of us. You know, Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians. We're going to go back to Philippians, but don't even turn there. Just listen to this one because I just kind of want you to hear the words. Moms, this is for you, moms. Just listen carefully. In Philippians in chapter 1, Paul writes this, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Let me tell you, moms, that is God's heart for you, and it's my heart cry to you guys just today. Thank you. Every time I think of you, I think with great joy. I pray with great joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel. Without you, our kids are dead in the water. Thank you for the blood and sweat and tears and pain you pour in day after day for the sake of Christ. Thank you so much for that. As you head back out there, there's a lady in our church, Andrea, and she writes poems. She's a poet, and I've had the privilege to read two of her poems, and they're absolutely beautiful. And she wrote a poem a few years ago about parenting. She's a mom, and this is from a mom's heart. And she wrote this poem as she was struggling and thinking through parenting and what it meant and struggling with the chaotic kid stuff. And so when I heard the poem, I said to her, you got to read this. So she's going to come up and read it in a minute. And when she does, moms, I want you to listen to the words. I want them to sink in because these words will whisper to you everything we've just gone over. They will whisper this to you. Be strong and courageous. Because the battle is worth it. Because on the other side is the promised land. And you know why you can be strong and courageous? Because as you are parenting your kids, God is parenting you. So trust in him. Let's pray, and then Andrea will come up and read the poem. God, thank you so much for your incredible, incredible love for us. Thank you for the provision you've given us. But today, right here, I stand, and I want to thank you most of all, above all other things, I want to thank you for our moms. I want to thank you that you've given to us the privilege of having mothers. Thank you for the tireless years that they just continually give so that we can have life. Thank you for the tears and sweat and blood that they spill on our behalf. God, may you bless moms today in this church. May you bless them all over the world. May you bless every mom represented here. Every mom that belongs to somebody here. And may you whisper into their hearts that you love them, that you're with them, and that being a mom is worth it. That this war is worth the fight. Thank you for our moms, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I get started, can you hear me? Hello? Am I good? Before I get started, I wanted to just share that the poem comes from a conversation, and so many times, all the time, my poems derive from dialogue that I have within myself that I then carry out with God. And so in this one, you'll hear my desire to get proper context so that I could begin to see proper results. It's entitled, As God Parents Me. The effectiveness of parenting cannot be measured by the things you possess to entreat your child with all of life's best. Irrepressible the tendency will be to question your adequacy. But trouble not yourself with a frustration that loses heart. Simply look to the Father who is there from the start. Mirror to your child God's wisdom obtained by sitting at his feet, willing to be sustained. By this relationship you have, whereby he calls you his child, does he patiently put up with you all the while? Learning of his ways are superior indeed, since of course he designed the child you conceived. Beware of impulsiveness, appealing it can be. Let not your eyes misinform what your heart should clearly see. To see beyond their faults, that's God-like sympathy. Let him reveal their deepest needs as he takes and keeps you on your knees. Resentment in your heart, self-abandonment is where you must start. To understand the root of every cause requires you to carefully pause, because no amount of severe scolding has ever brought about proper character molding. Discipline, yes, it is given by God to bring correction, but when traded for punishment, their broken spirit is tempted to lead an insurrection. Some will quietly refrain, while others will make defiance undeniably plain. Consumed are they by self-centeredness? Yes. Now I inquire of you, Daddy God, do I pass this test? No quick fixes will you deal. I must be patient to allow you to reveal your better way. Therefore, I choose today to seek and engage my heart, my mind, my body, and spirit, as I now discover their heart, their mind, their body, and spirit. Now, with great anticipation, I perceive a new destination. Exhale, I must, because I am finally relieved to know what the real journey of a parent is meant to be, as I allow you, Daddy God, to parent me.